Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Giannis feeds it over to Trent. Hits Trent. Has done it again. 9 3-pointers for Gary Trent Jr. Take a bow.
Bucks Talk starts now.
And what an answer for the Bucks, trailing by 10 at halftime. An explosion of offense.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia.
Well, you've heard me say the only must-win games are those in which you are facing elimination. So by that logic, tonight was not a true must-win game, but it was as close as you can get. No team in NBA history has come back from a 3-games-to-none deficit, even overcoming a 2-games-to-none deficit. The numbers are not on your side. It's just happened 28 times. I had to triple and quadruple check those figures several times before the game. A 92% success rate for teams that go up 2-games-to-none in a best-of-7 series. Obviously, the Bucks have overcome that many times. The Bucks have played into it on the other side as well, when they went 2-none against the Raptors in the Eastern Conference Finals back in 2019. But 3-games-to-none is not a spot you want to be in. That is not a neighborhood anybody's looking at houses in. And the Bucks avoided that tonight. And now they have a chance to make this a series, to make this a best-of-3 series, heading back to Indiana for game number 5 Tuesday night. So we know we're going to have a 5th game. We hope to know we're going to have a 6th game after results on Sunday night. But this game will forever be remembered as the Gary Trent Jr. game. 37 points from Gary Trent Jr., 37 points from Giannis as well. And Gary Trent Jr. ties Ray Allen's franchise record for most threes in a playoff game with 9. 855-616-1620. The Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. A lot of doom and gloom, especially in the first half when the Bucks went into halftime down 10 points. It was a very uneasy and anxious feeling within this building to watch that second quarter transpire. But a couple of key takeaways from this game tonight, and a couple of areas that I think inspire even more confidence, not only in Sunday's game, but the remainder of this series going forward. You get in the win column. That's the most important part. And now do it again and make this a best-of-3 series. As we said, there's multiple ways to view this. You can be a glass half full, glass half empty style and say it's 2-games-to-none. It's over. You can look at it and say the Indiana Pacers did their job. They won home games, one of them very convincingly, the other very convincing for about 2.5, 3 quarters. But now it's your turn to do the same. And that's what we saw one game down, one of those games go the way of the Bucks. 855-616-1620. The Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Those reasons for optimism. What have the Bucks continued to find and lean into? A closer look at Sunday's game and a chance to hear from all of you as well. As again, we bask in the glory of Gary Trent Jr. 37 points and 9 made threes when the Bucks needed it most, as this is now a 2-1 series with this 117-101 win. We'll get to the phone lines and hear your thoughts coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
Trent stepped in front of the pass from Turner, and now, right now, all of a sudden, we're seeing for the first time the Pacers start to unravel a bit. Trent fires up a three, and he drills another one. Gary Trent Jr. continues his assault from three-point range. He's got smoke pouring out of both barrels now. 8 of 11 from three-point range. He's got...
Thirty-seven points tonight from Gary Trent Jr., 9 made three-pointers as well. An incredible performance, both offensively and defensively. Defense especially, not just for Gary Trent, this entire group that we'll get into in just a moment. But one down, one to go now in this series. Coming in to this weekend, we were talking about it before the game tipped off, and I had mentioned to Dave, look at it feels like when you get to this spot, you lose the first 2 games on the road. When you come back home, it feels like you get a blowout game and you get a close game. and you just hope you're on the right side of both of those. This one, I think, qualifies as the blowout game, which none of us saw coming after a 10-point deficit at halftime. But I would imagine this is going to be close on Sunday night. And even Doc Rivers said after the game, this Pacers team ain't going away. We know what to expect from them. They're not going to fold it up just because we won a game tonight. So we know what we have to bring on Sunday. We saw what worked tonight, and that's what we got to lean into for game number four, which I expect to be a highly competitive and close game Sunday night here at Fiserv Forum. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talking text line to join us tonight on the show. Let's head to the phone lines and start things in Phoenix. Sam, in Phoenix, you're up first.
Hey, Justin. I was just calling to ask you what your thoughts on with Dame. Obviously, he hasn't played in a while, but the last two games really struggled offensively. So just wondering, I know Nembhard's on him, which is a really good defender, but if they didn't do anything to help Dame get back in the rhythm of things. And then also we saw with Lopez, like a lot of his minutes were cut down, and I think it made a big difference with Sims out there. I thought he had played really good minutes. And then finally, I was wondering what you're thinking about with KPJ. Again, just feels like turnovers is a problem, and then he doesn't feel like he's playing as well as he did to end the regular season. And then with Dame's not scoring, I guess, who do you think would be like our second, third scorers? Because we need people besides Giannis. And obviously today was Gary Trent Jr., but if you think we'll have someone else for you to step up for the coming games.
Well, ideally, thanks for the call. Ideally, it's Damian Lillard, but you kind of mentioned it as well. And Doc said, too, he's gassed. And to think about Damian Lillard returning to a game 35 days after the announcement that he was battling a blood clot came out is remarkable in itself. But, you know, we said before game two, look, it's great to have Dame's availability, what it is, and to know he's going to be back in this series, and then we learned it's for game two. It's great to have that, but we shouldn't and can't assume that Damian Lillard is all of a sudden here to save the day because of, number one, what he was battling, and a layoff of over a month. Doc said it again tonight. That's tough for any player to come back after a month-long layoff and try to find your rhythm, try to get your legs under you, especially with Andrew Nembhard as the guy that is defending you. But Dame found ways to be effective, you know, with his defense of all things. So this game will be remembered for Gary Trent Jr.'s shooting, 9 made three-pointers, 37 points, and then Damian Lillard's defense. 2 blocked shots, a chase down to get back and help out and block Pascal Siakam. A couple of steals. He was very, very good at reading the passing lanes, and you saw a very engaged Damian Lillard defensively tonight. He's the guy, though, that ideally when you say you need another scorer, you got to get more than you got tonight from Damian Lillard. All those things being said of you know, the layoff and what he's up against, I think we all understand that, but it's still you need more than 7 points. 2 of 12 shooting, 1 of 8, the hope. That's going to start to turn around. I don't know, you know, because this is uncharted territory. But in the meantime, guys like Gary Trent Jr., A.J. Green to get up 8 threes tonight, knock down 4 of them, that's going to be big. Bobby Portis had that big game in game number 2. Bobby Portis, I thought, was good tonight. It certainly wasn't a remarkable game. But it's just going to have to be a collective group effort where it's multiple guys. And that's one of the other takeaways that I had from this where I said there's, you know, there's a couple of things that inspire even more confidence after this win. One of those things I mentioned on the network postgame show. As a team, you shot 37% on threes. That's about 2 percentage points down from what your season average was. It's okay. It's a perfectly fine shooting split in a postseason game. But the numbers are lying here. The Bucks did not shoot 37% on their threes. Gary Trent Jr. shot 75% on threes. If we take Gary Trent Jr. out of the mix here, who goes 9 of 12, the Bucks go 6 of 29. 21% shooting. And go a step further. Take A.J. Green out of the mix. He and Gary Trent Jr. combined to go 13 of 20. The rest of the Bucks go 2 of 21. So 10% shooting from 3. That's the other part to me. is this wasn't a holy cow, the Bucks shot the lights out. This was Gary Trent Jr. shooting the lights out. And you may say, well, that's not going to replicate. Gary Trent Jr. certainly is not going to knock down nine threes in a game and not going to score 37 in a game again. I would be inclined to agree with you. But the thought, the hope is, yeah, maybe not. But we feel like what A.J. Green did, he can continue to do. We feel like Damian Lillard's 1 of 8. That's only going to tick upward. Brooke Lopez missed all three of his threes. I know there's some calls out there and some comments on the minutes from Brooke Lopez. Bobby Portis missed all four of his threes. These are all things we think are going to start to move in that other direction, that this wasn't just a, hey, this was an outlier shooting game. It was an outlier shooting game for one player. The rest of the team did not provide that. So this wasn't one of those, man, everything, all those good performances came together in one game that in some ways you feel like, oh, well, it all went to waste because all we needed was Giannis and Gary Trent Jr. So that's another thing that I leave this game really liking about where things are headed for the Bucks. The defense, though, is the biggest thing. And I think that kind of ties into some of the minutes we saw dispersed throughout the course of this game as well. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's take one more call here. Dylan in Mequonago, you're up next.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to take on what the other guy said. Gary Trent did shoot lights out. He really stepped up this game. The one thing I do see with Dame is he's rushing a lot of shots. He's not relaxed. He's taking a lot of stuff off the ball, and he's not getting set on his shots. We've obviously all seen Dame, what he does in the playoffs. He took Portland, I don't know how many times, the Western Conference Finals against those better teams. When are we going to see Dame just relax? I know he's been off the last 35 games, and he's had the blood clot and everything like that, but when is Dame going to get back into that rotation where he's relaxed, he's taking those shots, and he's making them? And I obviously love that Lopez isn't playing a lot. I think that Jericho Sims really stepped up tonight, and then I think Portis really does bring energy to the team. And lastly, is there any way we see Andre Jackson Jr. playing any tougher minutes? I see first and second game, we really lacked on the defense, getting beat off the dribble a lot of times. And Andre Jackson, I know he doesn't bring a lot of the offensive scoring, but he does bring a lot of the defense and the hype into the team. And I think that the Bucks could really use it.
Thanks for the call, Dylan. I mean, no, we're not going to see Andre Jackson Jr. You pare down your rotation. The offense is just too much to overcome, but your defense has to be elite. And quite frankly, the defense was not an issue tonight. And there were some minor tweaks that were made. Part of it was minutes and rotations. Part of it was how they attacked the Pacers. But the big part was the players that were on the floor in what situations that we weren't talking about blow-bys. We weren't talking about the Bucks not keeping the ball in front of them. So I don't see this need for Andre Jackson Jr. after this performance tonight. You saw the impact of having a true guard in the backcourt and one that is as aggressive as Gary Trent Jr. was. We didn't see the Indiana Pacers getting those paint touches and just breaking down the Bucks defense. So I don't leave this game thinking you got to find a way to get Andre Jackson Jr. on the floor. I leave this game thinking, okay, we continue to see what works, and you saw even more of it in game number 3 here. This is how the Bucks have to attack. And I think one of the answers Doc Rivers gave after the game as well is pretty telling in the sense that this is what they're going to do. When he talked about Giannis's minutes and one thing he has to do to manage those minutes. So we'll replay some of that, revisit that conversation from Doc Rivers. Still a couple of calls to get to as well. 855-616-1620. The Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight. Gary Trent Jr. pours in 37 points and knocks down 9 threes. The Bucks take down the Pacers and now have a chance to even up this best of 7 series on Sunday night. More after this on Bucks Talk. 117-101, the final score. Bucks get into the win column in this series now, taking down the Pacers. An incredible second half from the Bucks in this one is they would hang 70 points on the Indiana Pacers in the final 24 minutes of this game, outscoring Indiana 70-44, a game they trailed by 10 at halftime after not disastrous, but a bad second quarter that saw the Bucks outscored 31-21 and they storm back in those final 24 minutes to start to make things interesting and potentially make this a full-blown series on Sunday night with a win here in this building. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and check in with Mike, who is leaving the game tonight. You're up next.
What's going on, man? What an incredible second-half turnaround. Going into halftime, you're not feeling too good, man, because that just has a vibe of a Pacers type of game. And, you know, we're trying to figure out, with Dame coming back from the blood clot, who's going to be that guy that's going to really step up. And I'm glad that Gary Trent Jr., who's been a great pickup for the Bucks, surprised that he was available so cheap, and he's been outstanding. A game like this, big time, because it's not just about your stars, it's about your role players, and they needed every one of that, and I'm glad he stepped up. And with Dame having an off night, work himself back in to lineup, Gary Trent was fantastic. That's how you got to beat this explosive Pacers team, because we know how lethal they are. And to really lock them down in the second half, especially I'll give credit to Dame, who's not really known as a defensive player. I thought he played his butt off in the second half. And when his shot not going, do all the little things. And his defense was excellent. And I thought that was a key there. So Kuzma, I know he's been inconsistent. You brought him in to replace Middleton. We need more out of him. Lopez will not himself. And hopefully Dame is going to have to go off, because we know how much he despises Halliburton and this Pacers club. So Sunday night at Pfizer is going to be big time. I expect the Bucks to come out and really set the tempo early and really defend home court. We know the Pacers are going to try to take the stranglehold on Sunday night. So if we expect Giannis to play his usual great self, but who's going to be Dame? He's got to be that guy, step up. Trent, we know he can do it. We need all the guys too, like obviously Brooke and Kuzma's got to be that guy. We brought him in for this playoff run, so he's got to break out too. So I expect the supporting cast to really play a fantastic game. So hopefully a repeat of tonight, and it's going to be a hell of a game, and I can't wait. I expect the Bucks to win and hold home court and go back 2-2 to Indiana. So tonight, just fantastic. A salute to Mr. Trent Jr. I thought he was incredible tonight, and we need more three-point bombers like this, because we know the Pacers are going to come out running and gunning on Sunday night as well. So tip of the cap, great win tonight, and hopefully expecting the same thing on Sunday night. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, Mike, what part of the building were you in tonight?
Lower bowl, section 120.
What did the crowd
I thought the place... Yeah, go ahead. No, I was going to say, go ahead, no.
What did the crowd feel like?
I thought it was a little sagging first half. I thought second half really picked up, because just the vibes and thinking, oh, man, Pacers really controlling the pace and tempo. But once they got out in the second half, I really thought Pfizer was floating. You're broadcasting from Pfizer, though, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. What was your overall viewpoint of the atmosphere of tonight at the Deer House?
I thought there was some energy early, and then kind of a so-so game took a little bit out of that. There was this kind of like anxiousness, it felt like, in the air, and it even felt
well, that was
like,
going into halftime, though, don't you think?
Well,
in the second half, I thought the vibe was outstanding, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, but in that second quarter, it felt like this was on the verge of the crowd turning, and a 10-point deficit, it did not feel great in this building, but in that third quarter, it exploded, and that's where the energy really started to peak up and remind you of, I don't think anything's going to match that 2021 finals run for a number of reasons, but it felt like this wasn't just another playoff game in that third and fourth quarter where the energy was at.
Right, yeah, it's also incumbent on the team to give the home crowd something to cheer about. If you're allowing this Pacers team to really control the tempo, regardless of whatever home team it is, the crowd is going to be on edge, because you're down 2-0 and you're allowing the team to potentially come in and take a commanding 3-0 lead. So if the Bucks come out like they did in that second half, you see the home team is going to urge them on, take over it, and the vibe is going to be outstanding. So it's up to the team not to lag around and allow the Pacers to control the team, because sometimes the atmosphere, especially since in playoffs you get more of a corporate crowd because the playoff tickets are a lot more expensive, in my opinion. I just think the vibe is not the same of regular season, because unfortunately, as you know, in sports, corporate crowds tend to take over these playoff games. So the vibe is not going to be as jumpy as it is when it's, you know, more affordable games throughout the regular season. So I just think that's what it comes down to. Just my thoughts, but I expect Sunday night of me out there, and hopefully another win. Go out there and dominate this Pacers team, who they despise too much, especially Dame. We know he put them on Haliburton on notice. So let's go out and do what they're supposed to do, and the crowd will urge you on and be that advantage home court there. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. Sunday's going to be interesting because, well, we'll save it. But there is one of those things, and I wish the tip times were inverse. And tonight was the 8:30 game, and Sunday was 7 o'clock. Because that's the one question I have about the energy. And you're going to need that same type of energy Sunday nights for game number 4. 855-616-1620. The Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's squeeze one more in here. Q in Milwaukee, you're up next.
Justin, I called in just to talk about the energy. I do not think that the Bucks will get rid of Giannis, no matter what happens this year. But the entire city needs to show up on Sunday and think in their head that there's a chance it's Giannis' last home game in a Bucks uniform. If we do not win that game, we could go and lose game 6 in the pace in Indiana, and Giannis could be just gone. It's not a likely scenario, but everybody listening to the station that's a Bucks fan needs to buy tickets to the game Sunday night, because it's a home game and it's our best chance to win a game for the rest of the series, in my opinion. And I am so concerned about the energy, because Sunday night 8:30 tips are just, I've been a long time season ticket holder, like over 20 years. Like, luckily my family's had tickets that long, and Sunday night games are just not, even during the playoffs, it's just not a big,
yeah.
So like, I'm ecstatic that we won tonight, but like, we're going to have to carry the team. The fans are going to have to carry the team on Sunday unless the Pacers just don't shoot well again. So, but irregardless, big win tonight. Super excited for Gary Trent Jr. and John Horst. This is a feather in his cap that he has a player making under $3 million, a minimum contract guy that's capable of hitting 9 threes in a playoff game. Wow. Like, I know there's a lot of people questioning that extension and the timing of it, but I'm excited, and Bucks in 6, baby.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Q, and that was the point I was trying to bring up. I wish tonight, a Friday night 8:30 tip, there's going to be energy for that. You don't got to work tomorrow. You're going to stay up later on a Friday night. That's the concern I have about how important the energy in this building is going to be on Sunday night. It's an 8:30 tip on a Sunday night. And Q mentioned it. We've experienced it before in the postseason, that the later those tip times are, the less energy there is, especially when it's, you know, not on a Friday or Saturday night. So that is going to be one important thing, is to match the energy that was brought in this building, and quite frankly, match the energy that we saw in the first two games in Indianapolis by that Pacers crowd, to match that once again on Sunday night. Is that going to determine whether or not the Bucks win or lose the game? No. But that's still a big advantage, to get that type of energy in the building and on your side. And we saw that in the third quarter, midway through the third, all of the fourth quarter. We experienced it early in the game as well. It's going to be important to bring that once again on Sunday night. And by the way, the Bucks are wearing their black uniforms Sunday evening and are encouraging the crowd to wear black for a blackout here in Fiserv Forum in that game against the Pacers. Game number 4, 8:30 tip for the Bucks and the Pacers. A big one, because you win that game, it's on. And it's a best of 3 series. You know things are going to come back to Milwaukee at least once more. And that's where it gets interesting. Pacers did their job. You win on Sunday, you did your job. And now it is a short series. I want to get back to some of the comments that Doc Rivers had to say about Giannis, about this series a couple of days ago as well, and still take some of your thoughts. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talking text line as we continue to recap the Gary Trent Jr. game as the Bucks beat the Pacers in Game 3 of the Eastern Conference playoffs, 117-101. More after this on Bucks Talk.
I thought it was the first time in the series that we applied pressure to the ball, and I thought that made a big difference.
Well, that was the impetus for the change in the starting lineup to get, not to say that Torian Prince can't defend, but to get a guard back there. Bucks did not do a good job in the first two games of this series containing the ball and keeping their assignments in front of them. The configuration of that starting lineup the first two games of this series and that lineup the Bucks went to close the regular season, you're asking Torian Prince to play out of position, and we saw the Pacers able to take advantage of that. You put Gary Trent Jr. in the mix, and you have a guy that can navigate screens, that can stay attached to Tyrese Haliburton. That was the assignment he took on. Haliburton did not have a good first half in this game. He did start to hit some threes late, but I think it paid off what you were looking to get defensively with this starting lineup change. And it's not just the starting lineup. It's the minutes that were played during this game. Everybody's quick to point out the Brook Lopez minutes. He played just under 15 minutes. I think that's probably what you need to see go forward in this series. We talked about the playoffs and the crucible of the playoffs, all about matchups. Not every player fits every single series. Think back to that series we referenced a couple of years ago when the Bucks, one of those 28 times, came back from down 0-2 to win a series against the Brooklyn Nets. Bobby Portis did not see the floor for most of that series, but he played against the Atlanta Hawks. He played against the Phoenix Suns. It's not to say Brook Lopez cannot play in the postseason. This is a tough matchup for him. And you have to monitor the situations for Brook Lopez, and I think that's what the Bucks did in this game tonight. Same story for a guy like Kyle Kuzma, who played just over 20 minutes. Torian Prince we saw for 3 minutes. The Bucks leaned into the likes of Bobby Portis, Gary Trent Jr., Damian Lillard, and Giannis. And that fifth guy was kind of a floater. Kevin Porter Jr. out there, A.J. Green out there. Those are the things the Bucks are going to continue to do. And Jericho Sims basically matched the minutes from Brook Lopez, and he was tremendous tonight with 8 rebounds, 4 of them on the offensive glass. So those are the things the Bucks have to lean into, and you've seen. These are the groupings that work against this Indiana Pacers team. The big thing is managing those minutes. And we heard Doc Rivers talk about that stretch in the first half where there was about 8 minutes of no Giannis on the floor. And saying, I wanted to get him a large chunk of rest because we knew if we did that, we could basically play him to close out the rest of the way. And by getting him that rest, that's what we were able to do. That's what we did. You saw Kyle Kuzma for 2 minutes in the fourth quarter. Giannis only played 6 minutes in the fourth quarter, but Giannis, Dame played 9 minutes. Gary Trent Jr. played some heavy minutes there as well. So you're able to lean into those guys to close the game out. That's the important part. Build in that rest early in the game. Don't let things slip away. And although the Bucks trailed by 10 at halftime, the margin didn't come in those stretches where Giannis was on the bench. So that's going to be the important thing to continue to bake in there. Find those moments of rest and just ride the lineup that works in the second half. Tonight is Friday. Sunday night is going to be a big one. We already talked about the need for energy in this building. A chance to make this a best of three series. And as bleak as things looked, a chance to turn all of that around and say, okay, the Bucks did their job, even the series. Now, apply the things that worked in these two games, make this a best of three the rest of the way. But you're going to have to hit shots. It can't just be 37 from Gary Trent Jr. and 9 threes from Gary Trent Jr. You got to hit some shots, and you got to bring this defense that we saw basically all game long tonight. The same has to apply on Sunday. And if that happens, then we got a series. We'll preview that game number 4 and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk. The Gary Trent Jr. game, 37 points, 9 made 3-pointers. You got that type of offense from Gary Trent Jr., and you got defense from Damian Lillard. And the Bucks make it interesting. Now a chance to make it a series on Sunday nights. Game number 4 in this best of 7 series as they take game 3 tonight, 117-101. So Sunday night, I cannot stress enough. You heard from Q as well. Bring the energy. I'm not going to tell you buy tickets and come here. What you do with your money is your choice. But if you're here, bring the energy. Bucks are asking everybody to wear black. Black this building out. But if you're here, the energy is important. We saw that in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter, early in this game as well. That's the type of energy that we're going to need Sunday night. And I know it's a late one, and we all got work the next morning. But please, we cannot stress it enough. Bring the energy on Sunday night. A game we won't forget anytime soon for a number of reasons. We didn't get into all the overtones that were coming with this and, hey, what happens if the Bucks fall down 3-0, what the discourse immediately shifts to. That's for another time and place. I think we're all aware of it. But you get that Gary Trent Jr. performance, you get a feel-good win against this Indiana Pacers team behind your defense. That, to me, was the piece of this that has not been discussed enough, just how good the Bucks defense was for 48 minutes tonight. What do they say in the comments, Matt? What's the chat looking like?
Well, you touched on this a little bit, but just to kind of confirm your stance, Brian Spatchik in the YouTube comments says, any chance Doc adjusts the starting lineup again on Sunday with another change? I assume he's referring to Brooke. He said, I would like to see the kind of start Dame, Gary Trent, Green, AJ Green, Giannis, and Lopez could provide. What are your thoughts? So Green for Kuzma in that scenario.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see that. I think, again, the biggest thing to me is it's more important who closes the game and who plays more minutes. You've seen the spots that work for Kyle Kuzma, and you've seen the same thing for Brooke Lopez. Like, Doc talked about it. I know Dave mentioned it on the broadcast as well, but Doc talked about it at practice and after practice yesterday, basically imploring the team, look, guys, our connection, how connected we are defensively, that's the important part, because Brooke Lopez is still a very good defender, and Brooke Lopez is there to cover up a lot of your misses, but we have to help him out as well. And the way you help Brooke Lopez out is by not doing what we saw the first two games of this series, where the Bucks could not contain the ball. They were losing every one of those battles. The Pacers were getting into the paint and either finishing at the rim or just spraying out to open shooters for threes. Now, look, it helped that the Pacers missed some open looks tonight. The Bucks, I think, would counter with, we missed just as many, if not more, open looks. We certainly missed every open look that wasn't taken by Gary Trent Jr. in this game. But the defense was much more attached and connected, and I didn't think Brooke Lopez looked like an issue tonight. That, 15-minute mark? That's probably, you know, what to expect for the next couple of games in this series. I think the big part is just start to dictate the pace if you're the Bucks. So I wouldn't imagine there is a starting lineup change aside from what we saw. I mean, I think you can't not start Gary Trent Jr. after what you saw tonight, but I certainly don't expect the Bucks to pull Brooke Lopez out of the starting lineup in game number 4 here. And there was one other thing that kind of stood out in the fourth quarter. Part of it was probably just frustration as well and kind of throwing your hands up in the air. But there was a couple of moments where the Bucks were the team that was really dictating the pace, where they were the more aggressive and more physical defense, and you would see the Pacers trying to grab some minutes. I mean, you think back to that exchange with Benedict Mathurin where he gets teed up but bought as much time as he could, selling the injury. There was another one with Aaron Nesmith a couple of moments later where he was just kind of sprawled on the floor, and the Bucks were quick, quickly. Let's get the ball. Let's inbound it, and let's push this. Like, that was the inverse of what we saw in the first two games, and that's going to be important for the Bucks in game number four as well. So long story short, I suppose, no, I don't think there's going to be an additional change to the starting lineup.
A name we've talked about a lot in the second half, Kevin Porter Jr., John Hassel in the YouTube comments says, KPJ played really good. People don't understand. You don't have to score 15 to have a good game. Of course, KPJ did not score, or he had 1 point tonight, 0 for 5 from the field. What did you think about his game tonight?
It didn't strike me really one way or another. I don't disagree with his point that we can't just focus in on point production and say this is what makes a good game or a bad game. He did end up with 4 rebounds and 6 assists. The 6 assists was the important part. Only one turnover, which frankly surprised me because the eye test told me there was more than that. So he did a good job of, after a bit of an erratic start, once again, of just containing himself and finding that flow and rhythm of the game. I still, and I know we just said that you're not going to insert somebody like Andre Jackson Jr. into the lineup at a time that you're shrinking rotations. I still wouldn't totally mind if Ryan Rollins were to be reinserted, and he's just kind of like, if you know, we use a Major League Baseball analogy, like, it's one of those bullpen days of, all right, Ryan Rollins, be ready. You might have to take the third and fourth innings. You just kind of wait to see what kind of game is this for Kevin Porter Jr., and if it's one of those erratic turnover games, then I would go to Ryan Rollins. But overall, he was good tonight. And overall, everybody was locked in defensively. That's the other thing. Ryan Rollins, I think, arguably did the best job defending Tyrese Halliburton one-on-one in the first two games, well, really first game of this series. But Gary Trent Jr. was good tonight, and everybody was good. The Bucks, again, limited the open looks. They did a good job of walling off the paint and winning those battles on the perimeter. There was even a couple of times where the Bucks basically baited Tyrese Halliburton and the Pacers into paint drives, knowing they had help coming over. You think about how aggressive Brook Lopez was in those minutes he played early out there on the perimeter with Miles Turner, because he had Giannis coming over as a weak side defender, and they did that to Halliburton a couple of times as well, knowing Tyrese Halliburton does not want to switch, or excuse me, does not want to finish in traffic. He's going to get in the lane and spray it out there to a shooter. So knowing, let's bait him into this drive and let's stay home on our guys, and it led to turnovers. So what the Pacers do to adjust to that, I would assume there's going to be something from Rick Carlisle. But just continue to dig in with that defensive mindset, and that's going to be one of the more important things in game number four on Sunday.
Last one for you here. Jericho Sims, you mentioned him, 8 rebounds tonight. I remember we were live on the air when the Bucks made that trade, and it was kind of like a shoulder shrug reaction a little bit, at least immediately. And then, you know, Bucks fans started looking into him, get excited. How surprised do you think you'd back to see Jericho Sims play the same amount of minutes as Brook Lopez in game three of a playoff series?
A little bit, but, you know, again, the knock on most coaches that they're not going to play young guys and they're not going to make any types of these changes. You know, there was a lot of those critiques on Doc Rivers last year especially, and I remember mentioning a couple of times, well, you don't have any other options. You've at least given yourself more options with the makeup of this roster. And that's a credit to the coaching staff to say, look, this works with Jericho continuing to show this defensive prowess and his ability to switch and stay with guys on the perimeter. This is exactly what we need. Same with the rebounds. I still wonder if that's something we start to see eventually turn for the Bucks as well, and saying we're doing a much better job of getting back in transition defense. And it was okay once again tonight if that's another one of those things to say, you know what? We're getting back enough. Let's start to crash offensive boards and start to win that possession battle. And Jericho Sims is a big way that you can do that. So he was great tonight. And that was the thing. Just about everybody that stepped foot on the floor, even if they didn't score, they found ways to contribute for the Bucks in a very much needed win. And now a chance to make things very, very interesting. Sunday night, a chance to even up this best of seven series at two games apiece. 8:30 tip on Sunday night. Bring the energy if you are here. Wear black and bring the energy. You're going to need it for a late tip here and a very, very pivotal game. 8:30 tip on Sunday. 8 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.